peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me and certainly for being a part of the conversation tonight. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. First and foremost, we got to let you know, folks, that support for WEAA is provided by Live Baltimore Fall 2018 Trolley Tour. It's coming to Baltimore Poly High School on Saturday, September 22nd, from 8:30 a.m. through 1 p.m. Meet and greet real estate professionals while experiencing various neighborhoods. More details at livebaltimore.com. All right, folks, tonight we're going to have a great conversation. This is a situation that's been brewing right down the street, not too far from here, from our sister city, D.C., Washington, D.C., where an 18-year-old high school student out of Ballou State Opportunity Academy, which is an alternative school on Ballou's campus that allows students to get their high school diplomas, a student by the name of Jamal Speaks, is his future and his fate is in the hands of two D.C. athletic bodies that just don't know what to do with this body. Here's the situation. Jamal Speaks plays for Ballou High School. He's one of their star players. Now, Jamal Speaks is a senior in the school. Jamal Speaks is, you know, doing a great thing, doing what seniors do. But at the same time, Jamal Speaks also has been afforded an opportunity to go to Temple University and play football. Now, here's where the story gets really crazy. Jamal Speaks is homeless. Yes, he does what they call couch surfing. And so, according to the D.C. State Athletic Association, the DCSAA, even though Jamal Speaks' residency has been questionable, he has been deemed eligible to play for the Ballou High School. However, according to the principal of Ballou, Mr. Willie Jackson, he insisted that Speaks couldn't play due to a ruling of ineligibility by the District of Columbia Interscholastic Athletic Association. Now, you might be saying, well, why is there an issue? Because of his residency. Here's the thing. This confusion over the hierarchy of the two D.C. athletic bodies with, of course, nearly identical acronyms, it is at the center of this controversy of Jamal Speaks. The decision caused an uproar among students, coaches, and fans and led to Ballou players refusing to take the field for the first 45 minutes of the game in protest. Speaks says that college recruiters who have come to watch him play weren't able to play with when he was suited and booted on Saturday, and so he had to miss the game. He was upset at first because so many people had come to see me, according to Jamal, who is without a permanent residence and is currently sleeping on couches at various friends' home. He said, quote, I work so hard on and off the field, have a good GPA, work in the classroom and outside of school. I'm homeless. So me just trying to stay in the area to get back and forth from school, it's already tough. Now, after being away from football, being away from football for nearly 2 years due to a previous residency question, Speaks said that he sent a waiver to the DCIAA, which is the District of Columbia Interscholastic Athletic Association, which is the city's public high school athletic league, to let him play this season at Ballou, but DCIAA denied him eligibility in August. Then Jamal appealed the eligibility decision to DCSAA, the state association that oversees all high school sporting events in the district, which reviewed his case and informed him on August 29th he was eligible to participate in athletics at any DCSAA member school, including Ballou. Now, DCSAA is saying yes. DCIAA is saying No. And each claims to be the ruling authority in matters of player eligibility. One is a state association. The other is the city's public high school athletic league. I would think it would have been pretty simple to determine who has the authority. But apparently, things run a little differently in the district, right? So with them both trying to figure out which decision they should go by, Principal Willie Jackson appears to be listening to the DCIAA and over the DCSAA. Now, here's Jamal Speaks situation. His father is deceased, and he says that his mother, him and her, aren't on the same page and not an active participant in his life. And so he was not able to play in Ballou's second game because he still needed to meet the school's minimum practice requirement. But according to Jamal Speaks, he had met them in time for the third game on Saturday. Now, the DCSAA, the State Association Director, Mr. Clark Ray, said that to his knowledge, there were no rules or guidelines Speaks had broken that would have changed Jamal Speaks' eligibility to play. However, Willie Jackson and Rogers did not respond to comment, but Jamal Speaks said he had his first face-to-face conversation with Principal Jackson this past Tuesday morning. The principal told him that he supported him and that he wants him to play. Speaks said that Principal Jackson wants the next step to be an official document from the D.C. Public School or the DCIAA stating he is eligible. I just want people to know, this is Jamal Speak went on record to say, I just want people to know that he said he wasn't out to get me. He wasn't against me. I don't think that he was on my side, but I mean, I don't know what to think about what he had to do about stuff. It's a lot of football stuff going on. It's just crazy. I should have been playing football. Well, Jamal Speaks has been in this conundrum between these two athletic bodies. And if he doesn't play by Friday, then there's the possibility of him losing his scholarship to Temple University. Wow. Yeah. Now, since this story has gone viral, there are many people that have been talking about this story on social media. And the question becomes, well, who's going to help him? But more importantly, how do we find a black student athlete, an athlete who has good GPA, an athlete who is trying to do his best to make ends meet, but an athlete who doesn't have a home? How does this something like this really happen? That's the question, right? How does this happen? How can we prevent it from happening to other athletes? And how do we get to this space where your residency determines whether you have opportunity? I mean, in some cases, isn't opportunity greater than your current situation? Now, since this story has gone viral, there were a couple of new developments today. One being that the Covington House, which is a homeless shelter in Washington, D.C., said that they would do their part in offering Jamal a permanent address that he could stay at the Covington House in D.C. and to use, and that address will be considered eligible for his permanent residence. Now, as of right now, there hasn't been any official statement from Jamal Speaks or from Covington House since that offer was made. But we want to talk about this. If you haven't heard about this story, this is a very, very interesting story, which is why we wanted to bring it up. As to looking at how politics, looking at opportunity, and looking at just having pure talent, how all of these kind of mix together to create the perfect storm for a lost opportunity. Joining me in this conversation in a few moments will be Ms. Monet Anderson, who is the Fox Sports broadcaster out of Washington, D.C., to give us some more insight into this story. But I also want to hear from you. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I want you to post your comments as well on our Facebook page. We are broadcasting live right now on For the Culture 88.9, and certainly you can check my personal page out at Faraji Muhammad. That's FarajiiMuhammad. We're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on this situation with Mr. Jamal Speaks as he's trying to get himself a football scholarship to Temple University, and it seemed like the athletic body, it seems like all of the stars are lined up against him. What can we do to help Jamal Speaks? What does this say about opportunity versus politics? So many layers to this, and we're going to uncover them over this first hour. So stay riding with me. It's a whole lot coming up here on For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. So welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us. All right, folks, for this first hour, I want to talk to us about this situation surrounding 18-year-old Jamal Speaks out of Washington, D.C., a Ballou High School football player who has an opportunity to go to Temple University. Yes, folks, Temple University, on because of his athletic ability, has an opportunity. He has an opportunity to do some great things with himself because of his sports. But because of one part of his life that just doesn't fit, the fate of Mr. Jamal Speaks is in the hands of two governing bodies of the athletic programs in D.C. And that one thing is he is homeless. He does not have a permanent residence. And so tonight I'm talking to us about this, how opportunity and politics can kind of come together, but it can come together in a very, very ugly way. Here to give us a little bit more insight about this particular story and potentially have the impact of a story like this is Ms. Monet Anderson, who is a Fox Sports broadcaster in Washington, D.C. So we're happy to have her here on For the Culture on WEAA. Monet, good evening. How are you?
I am great. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us about this this story.
Not a problem at all. You know, it's huge, as you said. So it needs to be talked about. It needs to be out there, and not only in the DMV area, but, you know, letting the nation know what has happened to this young man, because I'm sure he is not the only one. But we're going to start with him. And what has begun is amazing. The outpouring of love in the DMV has just been so overwhelming. I'm proud that it went this route, because I thought at first that it would, you know, take some time for things to start to happen for him. But it moved fairly quickly, and I want to say it was within 24 hours that magic was happening for Jamal.
So here's the I'm kind of laying out just some of the details of this situation. So the fact is, you have the DCIAA, the DCSAA. One is a state association, the other is for the city school, so I guess that will be seen as a city association.
Correct.
How is it that there's still this conflict, given the fact of generally when the state makes a decision about anything, that's just, pardon the pun, I know you're in D.C., Monet, that trumps that trumps the city's decision about anything. Why is there still a conflict?
You know, I think the two powers that be have met, and I believe that conflict has been resolved.
Okay.
And if it hasn't, if it hasn't underlying, it has on the surface for the people. At least for the people, they have us thinking that they are now talking and things are being worked out between the two. I think there was a big miscommunication here, all the way from all the powers that be to the principal, who people have been trying to get in touch with, but unfortunately.
And even we have done our due diligence, Monet.
Yes,
we have tried to reach out to Ballou, and there has been no comment. They won't return
Absolutely.
Our call.
Yes, there has been. And I guess what they're saying is, you know, hey, you all ran to social media for this story. Go to social media and find out what's going on. Because, you know, they're releasing statements through DCPS, and I guess that's where we're supposed to filter our information through. But it's a sad thing that you make these kind of determinations and then you go and hide behind a rock and don't want to come out and talk to the people. I guess we're supposed to be satisfied because we see things are moving along for Jamal. But hey, talk to us. You know, let us know why this decision was made against a young man who has no home. We're confused. The people were confused.
So, okay. So I know that latest development of Covington House offering Jamal some residency, that was earlier this afternoon. What's the latest with that?
Absolutely. That was done, I believe it was in the works this morning, and by late morning, early afternoon, it was announced that they will be supplying his residency for him.
Yeah.
He will be there. They're not far from Ballou High School. They're within walking distance. And as of 4 p.m. today, he was going to be a resident of that house. And, you know, I did my research on the house as well, and everyone that has gone into that situation has said that it helped them tremendously with their futures, and they were so grateful to the Covenant House. So I believe this will be a good move for Jamal. He's at least settled. He knows where he's going to lay his head every night, because it was said, you know, that he was sleeping on friends' couches.
Yeah.
He didn't know where he was going to sleep from day to day. So this right here is a huge victory, just to know he has somewhere to lay his head and a roof over his head, you know. And now, you know, since that's taken care of, because I will tell you, just in my inbox, I had parents saying, I know this young man. I know him from youth. I know my son played with him. I am opening up my doors. Does he need a place to live? He can use my address. And this was from Maryland, D.C., and Virginia.
Wow.
So he was going to have a place.
Wait a minute. You know, but Monet, you know what? That's kind of funny. You know, it's just kind of ironic. It's like, I got to get my business put on the news for everybody to know that I'm homeless. Now everybody,
I know.
What
I
everybody
know.
Wants to give me a place to live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the funny part of it. But, you know, the funny, not funny, you and I know Jamal at some point will be able to smile, and I hope he's smiling now about this. But what happens now, you know, we focus on his academics and we focus on him getting back on the field, and we focus on that Temple U offer that is out there. And we hope that this all works out. And, you know, have you thought, and people have talked about this in my inbox, the Michael Orr story, the blind side, definitely takes you back to that story right there. It almost mimics that story.
So a couple of things about this, and folks, I want you to definitely join us as I talk to Ms. Monet Anderson, Fox Sports broadcaster, as we're talking about the latest development in the Jamal Speaks story, where this 18-year-old has been offered a great scholarship to go to Temple University in Philly, and he's playing for Ballou High School. However, there were some issues about his eligibility to play, to not just for high school, but also to even accept the opportunity from Temple, because he is homeless. Now, the latest developments, as you just heard from Monet Anderson, the latest developments is that Covington House in Washington, D.C. has decided to offer their services and their place as a permanent address, so Jamal will have a place to lay his head this evening and to use that address as his permanent address. Here's the question, though, Monet. One is about his family. I know that there was some reports that he did, or a couple of interviews that he did, where he talked about his relationship with his mother was really rocky. What do you know about that situation?
You know, I haven't dug too deeply into that part of it, but I do want to get a little deeper because things, we need to stay on this. We don't need to just let this go after one day of social media and let this be, you know, the story that went viral for one day. I want to know more of, you know, what happened there as well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you are a product of your environment. We know that Jamal is over there in, you know, the Ward 8 area of Southeast D.C., and there are a lot of struggles over there. There's, you know, it's sad. There's the drug addiction, and, you know, there's the crime. So I want to dig a little deeper into that aspect of it as well. And I planned on actually today trying to get over to Baloo to catch him at practice so that I'll have an update and get more information. But being the product of your environment is, I believe, one thing that has affected him.
So his mother, as far as you know, his mother hasn't come forward. She hasn't made any type of statement because that seems like it's just an odd situation, to say the least, right?
Yeah, it does when you think of someone's mother.
Right.
But, you know, I just have to go back to what I just said, the area. You know, we don't know her situation, and once we do learn it, we'll probably have a better understanding of why she's just not in the picture. I know there is a guardian that is in the picture that tries to do as much as possible. But as far as the mom, not much else on her.
Well, you know what, Monet? We're going to continue this conversation for the next 30 minutes, and I appreciate your time to give us some insight. And folks are wanting to are checking in right now to be a part of this conversation. 410-319-8888. I want to talk on the next 30 with Monet Anderson. The situation with family and then the politics, because this story has gone viral. It looks like it's going to end up at a happy place.
Yes.
But we don't often hear about the struggles of student athletes, especially when they're coming from their home life or the politics of it, folks. So I want us to have some conversation about that. Stay riding with me. We still got a lot left in the second 30 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
All right.
This Saturday night, your Morgan State University Bears set to attack the MEAC. Bears take on the defending MEAC champion, North Carolina A&T Aggies.
Makes the catch!
Our coverage begins with the Morgan Game Day Experience at 5:30. Kickoff Saturday night set for 6.
Touchdown, Morgan!
Right here on the home of the Bear, WEAA, the voice of the community.
90-yard TD strike, DeAndre Harris to Manasseh Bailey.
Support for WEAA is provided by
Loyola University Maryland, offering a newly designed master's in curriculum and instruction for social justice program. Perfect for educators ready to tackle controversial political and historical issues in education. This 33-credit program prepares teachers to enhance the lives of their students and empower their communities, because education creates justice. More information available at loyola.edu/CISJ.
And members like you. Thank you.
If you're looking for the very best in conversation, great music, and, of course, the very best slow jams in the city, make sure you join me, LaDon Black, nightly, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your community station, the station that's your source for cool jazz and so much more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
News headlines, events, podcasts, and more. WEAA.org.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
peace, and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We've been talking about the story of 18-year-old Jamal Speaks, the 18-year-old out of Washington, D.C., who is a college, a high school football player who has great opportunity, great promise. At the same time, the big thing that he doesn't have is a permanent address. And not by him not having a permanent address, it has become a real challenge by the D.C. Athletic bodies there in D.C., as well as the potential for him to gain a scholarship. Now, this story about Jamal Speaks has gone viral. And since it has gone viral, it has garnered both support and love and just an outpouring like no other. So Jamal Speaks now has been gifted from the Covington House a permanent address. This is a place where those who are displaced, those who don't have a permanent address and homeless, can find a home and a safe place to stay. And so we give a big shout out to the Covington House in Washington, D.C. for extending their services and resources to help Jamal Speaks. But I want to talk a little bit about how a young man who has great potential and promise is able to be in such a conundrum. And it would take social media and so many of us to be a part of the conversation to help this one young man. Joining me for this conversation has been Fox Sports broadcaster Ms. Monet Anderson, and she is broadcasting from Washington, D.C., but giving us some insight into not just this story, perhaps some of the politics around this story, because I feel like this has so many other layers. There are so many other factors that has led to this particular moment. So again, Monet, we thank you so much for being on For the Culture here on WEAA.
All right. I wouldn't have it any other way. Then.
Monet, I want to jump to, we got a couple of folks that wanted to check in. So first online, we had Marcus who said, sometimes it just requires a little compassion between these institutions and governing bodies. I hope the offer frame from the housing shelter can resolve this issue for this young man. What message are we sending to our youth when we allow institutions to place roadblocks to education? All the situation needs is a little human touch. Marcus. I'm going to give you the...
That was a good one.
Come on. Come on, Marcus. Come on. Yes. Yes.
That was absolutely great.
Great question. Comment, Marcus. So yeah. Marcus is being my producer at this point. Sorry, Alex, but Marcus is producing the show right at this moment by posing that question. What message are we sending to our youth when we allow institutions to place roadblocks to education? Monet, I'm going to share that, say the same question to you. What message are we sending in this situation?
Oh, we're sending an awful message, because the school institution up to grade 12 is supposed to be here for the children, last time I checked. And when I say for the children, we have those that have the special needs, the disabilities, and they go beyond childhood. And we can take Jamal, for instance. He is an adult. He is 18 years old at this time. So, you can get the gripe. Someone can say, well, he's an adult now, so why are we doing all this? Well, he's an adult that's in a situation that still needs help. And at 18, and I had this conversation on my social media page, at 18, by no means is a young man ready to be thrown out to the wolves on his own. So he still needs a ton of guidance. And according to most school codes in most counties and cities, 18 to 22, if there are issues, family issues, disabilities, what have you, the school system is still liable to care for these adults, if we want to call them that. So I think he falls under that category, but it is still up to these institutions to take care of these children, young men, young women, until they are out of the system. And the system, in this case, it almost looks like it failed. People are not happy. They're very unhappy. The comments that I've seen, there has been nothing supporting what they have done. Nobody is supporting what they have done to this young man. Not one person that I've come across, because there's no reason. And one of the things when we talk about politics, you know, D.C. is changing.
Yeah.
D.C. is changing, and with the change comes the folks that have not been a part of D.C. for the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So they don't care about the culture that used to be there that are still there. What they care about is bringing in the new.
Mm.
And when the new comes in, they want to get rid of the old and all of the old policies and procedures. So you have those people still in the system who are kind of pulling and tugging, the old school people who have been there since birth. And then you have these new people who are saying, oh, no, this is the way it's going to go. So I think a lot of played a part in this.
Yeah.
You know, we don't care that there's not an address. He doesn't have one. So therefore, he doesn't go to this school. Well, that's not how it works. So we need our people who've been there to come back and pull back on that, as they have done with this situation. And who wants to look bad in front of social media? You know, one of the things they're saying is you all are making Baloo look bad. No, we're not making Baloo look bad. Look at what the principal did to this young man right before game was supposed to begin.
So that's the thing.
Yeah.
So Principal Willie Jackson. He made a decision. He decided to side with the DCIAA.
The new. I guess it's called job stability.
He decided to do the new, but then he got a, man, Washington, D.C. is a great place for him, because he did some backdoor politics when he sat down with Jamal behind closed doors. You know I'm rooting for you. but then his public message was that he wasn't. First thing, in a situation like this, and according to the policies of both the DCSAA and the DCIAA, does the principal have the final say on a certain on situations like this? Like, is all of the power rendered to the principal?
And I don't think so, because there is a superintendent.
Yeah.
You know, and once the principal makes a decision that puts the city in an uproar, it goes to the superintendent, it goes out to the councilman, and as you saw, if anyone saw the NBC4 special with Shamari Stone, Councilman Trayon White came out in support of this young man. So this thing goes, it's levels to this.
Right.
It was definitely levels to this.
Yeah.
So Councilman came out, he spoke out on it, and here we have results.
Right. For one young man. My question is, Monet, and you've worked in the sports world, how many stories like this? I mean, they may not be as severe, where an athlete may not have a permanent address, but how many stories like this are not being told, where athletes may be experiencing some real trauma in their personal life, and that may be a roadblock for them to take the next step to be fulfilling their promise, and what the school or what the community does? Like, how many stories are not being told from that perspective?
You know, I think there are probably more than we'll ever know, because most of these children don't have an advocate for them. They don't have that situation. I believe with Jamal, it was the right place, right time, and the right people heard that this went down. So if you don't have that around you, we don't know, you know. And I hope with this that if it's going on with others, and I know it is, I know it's more than residency issues and things of that type. They're kicking these kids to the curb, so to speak, and nobody is stepping up. You know, people don't like to get involved in things sometimes.
Yeah.
They just don't like to get involved. But when you see a community rallying together, It makes people feel more easy to say, okay, I'm going to raise my hand and help too. But who wants to be the first one to do it? It's not always easy to be that first one to jump out there, because nobody may support you and nobody may back you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he was in the right place at the right time around the right people.
Let's go to the phone lines and hear what you got to say, folks. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Antoinette out of Harlem Park, who has a question for Monet Anderson. Good evening, Antoinette. How are you feeling?
Good evening. This is very controversial. So my question is, your guest speaker said that the young man had a guardian. Is the guardian a court-appointed guardian? And if so, then the young man should have a permanent residence. And the reason why I say that is because I'm a court-appointed guardian for my niece, who otherwise would be homeless because she was in foster care. And then number two, if this young man, say, was to get in trouble with the legal system and have to be go to court and be tried, and say he were to get in trouble and get arrested and they would offer him time, they would have no problem putting him in jail and giving him time because he's homeless. So he has
That's
an opportunity.
Right.
I mean, I've been homeless. It takes a lot to overcome homelessness. It affects what your self-esteem. He has already persevered in so many ways that this is just
appalling.
This is nothing but pure bureaucracy. And if the young man does have a court-appointed guardian, then the guardian should look to find a legal counsel, because homeless people have legal rights.
That's right. And, you know, I want to answer the first part of your question. I believe the lady that's helping out is just purely someone that is volunteered. I will confirm that as well, but I don't think she's a guardian ad litem that is appointed by courts or a family guardian. I don't think she's to that extent. I think she's just someone that has stepped in and tried to help as much as possible. And people have kind of given her the label of guardian. And I say that because, you know, some of the things you mentioned haven't, you know, kind of been done, because I don't think she wanted to overstep her boundaries, but I think she saw that he needed the help, and she's there for that.
So this is and Antoinette, did that answer your question? Okay. Thank you so much for checking in, Antoinette. But this is a volunteer that you're saying, though, right, Monet? This is not any family member or anything. This is just simply a person who has a good conscience.
Absolutely. And there were so many people volunteering to do that, as I told you. So I can see that, you know, someone stepped up to do this.
Definitely. All right, let's check in with Dennis, who's calling from D.C. as well. Monet, you know Dennis? Let me stop playing. I'd like you know everybody in D.C. All right, Dennis, talk to me. What's your take on this, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having my call, and thank you for having your guest. Really has us. I hear the joy in her voice and of the outcome that's about to happen. You know, it starts first and foremost with the parent. It's unfortunate at the beginning you spoke of her distancing herself from her son. This is almost an epidemic among black mothers in the district and in Baltimore. You've got a lot of youngers walking around the street who have been disclaimed and are recently estranged from their parents for one reason or another. Fast forward to this young man, I predict nothing but the best outcome. You know, I heard you at the beginning of what you say about it's a shame he had to go on the social media cycle, but fortunately, we do have an active, you know, it's a two-edged sword.
Yeah,
we have an active social media that can run to criticize or help at the drop of a hat. And in this particular instance, I'm seeing help, you know, swooping in, and the result of this is going to be mind-boggling for this young man. God works through people.
Yes, he does.
And he is going. I predict that somebody is going to pick this young man up, see the potential in him, and just be with him the whole 9 yards, adopt him, even I will go so far to say that, adopt him, and just so he can realize his potential.
Sure.
Well, let's pray that the mother, wherever she is listening, and that she will be overwhelmed with some sort of compassion and reach out to her son. Well, this is just one case.
Yeah.
There are many instances in these two cities where you have a lot of youngers walking around here, man, who don't have any direction, and fatherless, and in some cases, both parents are living.
Hey, Dennis, thank you for such a great call and some wonderful insight. And that's the part of this, Dennis, that I don't want us to lose sight on, because we do live in a soundbite world, Monet, like you and I both know, that we can celebrate today and forget tomorrow. And at the end of the day, you know, my hope is that this situation will either serve as a precedent for some new policy, new level of communication between the athletic board and between these athletic bodies, or at least get us thinking twice about the challenges facing young people who are on the streets. In Baltimore, we have numbers here, Monet, where people are, and I've read different reports, but roughly around 3,000 people can be living on the streets of Baltimore on any given night.
Wow.
So, and most of those folks are young people and families and women with babies, small children, right?
So
when we look at it from that vantage point in that context, understanding the importance of that level of compassion, like we can save one, but I'm always concerned with how do we create an infrastructure that can save many and so that way we don't lose sight or forget that the many still exist out there on the streets.
Yeah, and, you know, there are, or should I pose the question, are there enough shelters and facilities to take on, as you said, almost 3,000 people on the streets of Baltimore every night, families?
Yeah.
Some families. There's probably not enough right now, but can there be enough? And I think there can be. You know, we can build nuclear bombs and missiles, but, you know, we can't get people off the streets. It's like you said, that politics that plays all into this.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, there are people out here that are homeless that want to be homeless. And, you know, that's the craziest thing to hear. But, you know, the first time I heard it, I couldn't believe it either. But there are people like that. And they don't like rules. They don't like regulations. They're kind of these free spirit, free birds. But normally when you have someone that needs the help, they're looking for it.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to ask. They don't know who to go to. So it's advocates, you know, like myself, like yourself, that will put these people on a platform that they need to be and say, hey, somebody, come and help.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines. Folks, we're talking to Ms. Monet Anderson, Fox Sports broadcaster out of Washington, D.C., as we continue to talk about the story of Jamal Speaks, the 18-year-old who has been afforded a great opportunity to play football at Temple. He's a player at Ballou High School in Washington, D.C., but the big issue is he is homeless, and this has served as a stumbling block. But the latest word is that he has found a home, not at Covington, I said that earlier, but the Covenant House in Washington, D.C. Right there, and you can't miss it. You come right on New York Avenue, and come right into the district. It's a huge, huge shelter that houses many of D.C.'s homeless. And so we give a big shout out to the Covenant House for doing that work and helping this young man. But I want to talk to you as well about, folks, I want to get your thoughts about how we find ourselves in this place. Social media has gotten some relief for Jamal Speaks, but there are still thousands of folks who are suffering, whether you're in D.C. or Baltimore, who are suffering, right, missing opportunities because of their residency issues. Let's go back to the lines. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Eric out of West Baltimore. Eric, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
How you doing, Faraji?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm running these streets, Eric.
Yeah, man. I had the opportunity to be in your leadership program. But
yes, sir.
I really think it's fortunate that he took advantage of his opportunities. I don't know how long he was homeless, but regardless, he was homeless, and he still stayed in school and got a scholarship, and that his leaders in his community try to, like, prevent him from furthering his education and, you know, getting better opportunities in life. I really think it's really unfortunate, but fortunate for him, and I'm glad that somebody opened up the door to let him live with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Eric, for stories like this, does this give you hope that the community, and I know Monet mentioned this, that the community can rally around and come together and to help those who are not as fortunate to help themselves? Does this give you hope?
Yeah, now with the social media and people been having so much access to that actually does give me hope. Because, like, he just had his opportunity taken away from him, but now is about to be given back to him from the community coming up and helping him. You sure. know, a lot of people said that they would let him live with him, and he's about to continue with his life and be successful, hopefully.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, I appreciate you, man. We got to definitely catch up, but I appreciate you for checking in and being a part of the conversation and sharing your compassion about this story. Monet, what as we have this conversation, how hopeful are you personally about what you're seeing? That you talked about the changes that the district is undergoing right now. How hopeful are you about the future of D.C., particularly those who are in the vulnerable population of D.C.?
You know, it's kind of that, I know a gentleman just spoke of, that double-edged sword. I would hope that D.C. takes care of their wards that are least fortunate. They're always, you know, the least fortunate are always the last to be looked at.
Yeah.
But I hope things like this will let people know that even though people are outside of D.C., we're still looking in. We're still seeing what you're doing. And just because, you know, I'm a Virginia resident. Just because I'm a Virginia resident doesn't mean I'm going to step back and say, oh, wow, look at what they're doing to those kids.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to cross the line. I'm going to cross the border. And I'm going to come over there and ask, what the heck are y'all doing with these kids?
Mona, you know you'd be like, what the hell? You know you go hard in the paint.
What are you doing with these kids? So I think as long as people know that, you know, we're watching, you are the District of Columbia, you know. You are the district. So people are watching, and I think that was one of the big things, as they said, you know, don't give Ballou this bad name. Well, you give Ballou a bad name, you give Washington, D.C. a bad name. You kind of, you know, it's kind of that flow that they just do not want. So they said, you know what, we better go ahead and fix this because we know how fast social media spreads information.
Right.
This has already gone nationwide. It's
absolutely
already gone nationwide.
Absolutely.
You know, people's Facebooks and Twitters are international. So, you know, there are people probably overseas that have seen this happen within this last 24 hours. So
sure.
I'm hopeful that D.C. will say people just aren't ignoring what's going on and letting us think that, oh, D.C. can take care of D.C. No, we're watching.
Right.
We're watching.
And you know what? What better time to have that type of community union than right now, especially
That's right.
given the fact that this country, and we often talk about it on this show, Monet, that there is a huge division that has existed or has erupted in this country, not even
with
President Trump being in office, but just in general over the past 10
and
years, literally. The past 15 years, we're starting to see the country break away from some of its quote-unquote founding principles. Of life, liberty,
That's
pursuit
right.
of happiness, of tolerance. And so, you know, as we're having these conversations, it's almost my hope is that these conversations are the norm and instead of them being the exception.
That's right. That they're the norm. You got it. You hit the nail on the head.
Right. So,
Absolutely.
You know, that's one of the things. I want to go check in with Dwayne from South Baltimore. Dwayne, what's your take on this story as we talk to Monet Anderson?
Yeah, I want to highlight a little flip of the script here because I'm listening to this story and I'm inspired. I mean, this young man was homeless and got a scholarship to play football, to go to college.
Yep.
I mean, this is an inspiration story as much as it is. You know, one of those things that make you go, wow, that's really going on?
right.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, when we listen to our young people give us these excuses and all this whining that we've been hearing lately, we need to remind them that a young man who didn't even have a home grinded enough to get a scholarship to go to school, what do you mean you can't do your homework? What do you mean you can't learn algebra? What do you mean you're afraid of physics? What do you mean you're afraid of chemistry? You better get your butt in there and get to work.
That's right.
You know what? Hey, Dwayne, I didn't even think about it like that, but you are absolutely right. Jamal Speaks might have just messed up some lives at the same time of inspiring others.
Right.
Hey, Dwayne, always good to hear from you. Thank you for riding with us, bro. And Monet, I mean, given that, That's the reality of that is absolutely true. Like, you
it's
know,
real.
It removes it's the real. Excuses, right?
Yeah, remove the excuses. You know, these privileged kids out here, they have that entitlement to where, you know, they're supposed to have cell phones and TVs and tablets and all this great stuff. And they have one job, to come home, get your homework done, get your grades. And we're talking about Jamal, who's out here struggling, you know.
My man got two jobs.
He's trying to hold on.
Right.
He's trying to hold on. So, yeah, we got to put some things into perspective here.
Well, but you know what? Hey, but here's the thing, Monet. Do you think that the next generation is going to extract those lessons from this moment?
That's right.
That's the thing. Unless the parents, those of us who are listening to this story and inspired by this story and can see those lessons of the story, I don't know if they will if teenagers today will make that connection. Now, I'm not undermining or trying to shade on any generation, but I'm just saying that I think all of the other elements of this story can kind of cloud that at the end of the day, there was a human being, a young man, particularly a young black man, who persevered through some tremendous odds. And it wasn't him that became his own roadblock. It was the adults around him.
Right. Which is sad. Which makes the story just sad. Yeah. Because this was totally out of his hands.
Right.
Out of his hands. And you look to... Kids look to the adults for the guidance, and he kicked him to the curb.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what happened. So I know we got a few moments left, Monet. We appreciate your time. What is going to be the next step? I mean, in terms of all of this that is laid out, what can we expect to see? Any particular statement you expect to hear from Ballou High School or from the DCSAA or the DCIAA? What can we expect over the next couple of days from your vantage point? Monet? Did we lose her? I think we might have lost her. All right, so look, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to try to get some final thoughts from our guest speaker, Ms. Monet Anderson from Fox Sports. Stay riding with us. Also, got to talk to you about what's happening with the O's. Not the obvious. But do you know that the Baltimore Orioles will become the first pro baseball team to incorporate Braille on their uniforms? What are your thoughts about that? We'll have that conversation. So stay riding with us. Whole lot coming up in the next hour of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Now let's check in with NPR with your latest in news and traffic. We'll be right back.